It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well with Daniel, and good afternoon to you,
good
Daniel.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Good to have you here, and we got through the Christmas season, kind of in between Christmas and New Year's here, and maybe that brought up the mixed family issue, and maybe we didn't do so well, so we need some tips if they're still hanging around, maybe for next year.
Yeah, that's part of it. I know that there was, I actually heard a show on the radio station here, KCIS, where they were talking about Christmas and mixed families. Mm-hmm. And I actually have quite a lot of experience with clients, yours, mine, and ours, when you call it complex or composite families or mixed families. And the very, some of the issues that come up in those families are unique. But I think a lot of times the families borrow trouble by having unrealistic expectations and trying to kind of force those the realities of those relationships into molds that simply don't.
Is it the kids that have these issues more than the parents, or do you think the parents?
I think the parents have more of the issue. The kids are in a reality, mm-hmm. and they're just flying by the seat of their pants. A lot of times, the parents are trying to fit the relationship or the reality into a mold, experience into a certain kind of mold that simply won't work. There aren't any of those two families that are alike. So I thought we would talk about kind of the stumbling blocks and where we kind of misconceptions and where we typically go wrong, and then some better ways to approach it.
Okay.
And I'd preface this too, Mark, by saying that I haven't written books on this. James Dobson has written books on. There's a lot of good stuff out there, and so people should be reading and getting information on this kind of. You don't want to do this sort of thing on autopilot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's stumbling block number one, would you say?
Well, a lot of times as adults we forget that the experience that the children are going through or the young person's going through in that person's young life, and I'm even talking about a person that's 15, when I stop to think about it, 15 years is the length of their life. Now, I've had a lot more than that. I've had over four times that much, and so I'm looking at a lifespan that's afforded me lots of opportunities to learn and relearn and second-guess myself. And start with a person that's even 15 years old and younger than that, 5, 8. The experience that they're having is not the experience that I have. They don't have the span of time and they don't have the reflection. And so to try to assume that the child, the young person, is experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing and should be responding to it the same way that I'm capable of responding is just not realistic. It's a bit of projection.
Yeah, sometimes they say, oh, get over it, or just roll with it. But that ain't going to happen for a young person.
Yeah, it's hard on me, too. I'm getting over it. You get over it. And there may be some validity there, but you have to, in order to have the child move forward, we really have to go back to where they're at and really try to empathize and understand, again, how they're seeing that. Now, we have the advantage of having been there before, but we've forgotten what it was like. And we tend to, as adults, look back on our teen years and our adolescent years as though we had the wisdom. But if we're really truthful and you go back again, we can maybe try to understand again kind of the fog that those years were and how narrow our focus was.
Well, so good or bad, more of us have experience with divorce and breakups than previous generations perhaps did. So we should look back and think, what happened when my parents got divorced?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't used to be able to say that, but now it's become so much more common that all of us have those tools. We should have some of those tools in our tool bag and how to understand how to help our kids.
And try to recall that we didn't have answers.
No.
And it was a fog and we were confused and there were it was a very difficult time and difficult in a way that the kids that are in these families are trying to make sense of it. They're trying to make sense of what happened and why did it happen. And they've lost some things. If we stop to think that in their world the adults are the ones that have the control. And so they, and so in this decision that was made, they had no control. They had no value. At least when we can, the parents can tell the kids, "Oh no, it wasn't your fault." But from the kid's perspective, sometimes it must seem that, well, it may not have been my fault, but I was helpless to do anything about it. My voice didn't matter. How many times did I say to mom and dad, please don't get a divorce? And yet it went through anyway. And so here I am. I had no value. I had no voice. I had no power.
Your big three. Even at a young age, it's still forming and it's important.
And no explanation is really enough, is really adequate. And I, a lot of times the parents will try to explain to the children, and I've had parents that are going through a divorce, how can we explain to our children? You must realize that no explanation will be enough. You can go back to your child's frame of mind. They can't jump up to yours. They just are not going to have that capacity.
See, even in our modern world, you see a lot of families, I'm sure, and do family counseling. And, divorces become so much more common now. People used to say, stay together for the sake of the kids. Mm-hmm. But I think that was maybe good advice, because kids, even in today's modern world, still are very adversely affected by a divorce, a first divorce.
Yeah, they are. The mistake that we make is divorce is a symptom of a problem, or many problems. And so when we say stay together for the sake of the kids, that would be great advice, particularly if in staying together we thought, let's get our act together and figure out what's going wrong and straighten our relationship out. It's complex, and then we wind up going down that road. Some people get into marriages that I'd like to say that every marriage can work, but I've experienced enough marriage counseling to realize that because we're human, it's like, well, we have the scriptures in divorce, and people will come and say, well, there's been infidelity, and so, we can divorce. But remember that scripture, when Jesus was kind of cornered by that scripture, about divorce, and he said that because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed divorce in this one situation, but from the beginning, it wasn't that way.
Right.
So, anyway, it's not about why you should get divorced.
Yeah, we're not going to say it's not a divorce show, but we're trying to make this work. These yours, mine's, and ours blended families. Yeah. What do you mean here by they're forced into unnatural relationships?
Yeah, so we want it to be, when we get married, we want to kind of make the best of a bad deal in some ways. And so we want the children to feel at home, and we want them to feel, that they can, call the stepdad dad, stepmom, call the stepmom mom. Or so we're trying to push them into, and maybe push ourselves into, an unnatural kind of relationship, sort of a cookie cutter or stereotype family reality that's really unreal for this situation, because I can maybe force that young gal to call me dad, but I'm not dad. And there's a reality there that we're against. So a lot of times I'll suggest to young people and parents, what does the relationship really look like? If you were to take your feelings and, does it look more like an aunt and uncle, or an aunt, nephew, or uncle, nephew, niece, or a coach and a coach and a coachee, or a teacher and a student? What does the relationship really look like more comfortably? And they might say something. Yeah, it's more like an aunt uncle.
Kids come up with that. They think kids can come up with that. The new stepmom or new stepdad is more like an aunt or an uncle.
I've actually asked, for example, a young girl, is there another adult male in your life, somewhat the age of this person, who you can't feel you can talk to? And she might come up with a coach or a teacher, and then I might suggest, would this relationship have a better chance if you thought of this person more as a coach and not tried to force an emotion that isn't there? Now,
that's great. That's great advice, I think.
Yeah, so they get pushed into unnatural. And then you have to also consider that each, of course, age group is its own challenge. A lot of times there will be teenagers involved. And,
which age group is the most challenging? Probably the teenage divorce situation?
I think the teenagers are the most challenging. We never know what's going on in the mind of a little fella or a little gal, 4, 5, 6, 8 years old. But they tend to be more resilient. Now, that's not to say they're getting over it and that there's no damage. But that's to say that they're not at that stage where they're trying to figure out who they are yet. And so a lot of the feelings that they've had don't have words for them, and they're more moldable. But the teenagers are already, I tell people, even if this were a perfect situation, the teenager would be a problem because they're by nature trying to pull away. I was talking to a couple just recently about a situation where there's a teenage girl that's kind of pulling away and resisting this process, and just advising them that, you know, that the MMPI, which is a psychological, very high-powered psychological test that's given to a lot of professionals in my field, maybe police officers, anyway, it's such a high-powered test. It really nails your personality in such a way that it can be a hindrance to you. A person that's going through a graduate program such as mine would have to take an MMPI test, and based on the results of that test, they'll either say, you know, you're a good person for this kind of work, or no, your personality. So that it is unethical to give that test to a teenage girl.
Right.
Because they would all seem psychotic according to
right.
that. And it's just because they're going through so much.
Right.
So to take any teenage daughter and, you know, and say it should be, we should have this, kind of a wonderful calm. And then you put that person into a situation where she's, you know, being forced into some unnatural relationships, or, you know, you couldn't expect anything other than some resistance and some resentment. And
it seems like one of the main ways a lot of young men, teenagers, they get really angry and will be vandals or start lighting fires or all this kind of stuff. That's always, it seems like it's connected back to some kind of breakup of the family.
Yeah. And again, with the genders are the age groups are different. Genders are different. You're going to run into different problems with boys than you do with girls. There's a period of time in the girl's life where she's going to go toward the mother. So, you know, if it's a stepdad in a situation with a teenage gal, and the teenage gal doesn't really want anything to do with him, you know, she's already in an age where she would be moving toward her mother anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should expect.
You're saying here too that there will be that loyalty to the absent parent.
To the absent parent, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's an attachment, particularly to the mother. There's an inborn attachment. Now, the difference between bonding and attachment is something that is very deep and almost permanent. Mm-hmm. Whereas a bonding is something you build. You say, well, you know, the guys are going out to bond. Well, they're not attached. They're going out to build a relationship. That's bonding. But attachment is something almost physical. Mm. And children have that with the mother by virtue of being carried in the womb. The sound of the mother's voice is something they've experienced in the womb. The scent of the mother. So many things that make them psychologically attached, cemented
more
to,
so
to
than
the
maybe
mother.
To the father.
Yeah, more
That's
so
why you
than
hear
to
this
the
term,
mother.
The evil stepmother, is because... That is a much difficult blending
tide
to happen.
Yeah. And so children in these are always going to have loyalty to the absent parent, and because loyalty is security and identity. It's not just that they're favoring the other parent because they don't particularly like you. It's that they have, you know, the attachment to the other parent is part of their security and part of their identity.
So understand that, because it's a very real feeling they're going through. Well, if you're listening to this today and you are having some problems with your blended family and need some help, maybe you sometimes see whole families together.
I do. That's a unique kind of counseling. But
whatever stage you're at with your counseling needs, Daniel Pryor can help out. And Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yes, the webpage is Christian Counselor, Bible-based Counselor.com is the, I was referring to the articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, but you can email me through Bible-based Counselor.com. And also the phone number is 425-778-6169.
And more details as well at kcisradio.com. This is Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor. We'll continue our discussion on yours, minds, and ours, blended families, when we come back.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today, more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. and that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland hanging along as well today. This is a subject that I think so many of us, right, good or bad, can relate to. And that's making the blended family work, coming up in homes that have got a divorce in them or maybe several marriages, and how to make those families work, whether it's obviously little kids relate in a certain way. Teenagers, we kind of both agree, are the real minefield. Even adult kids can have difficulty getting along with the new dad's new wife or mom's new husband or whatever. Yeah. So,
and some of the things that we're talking about here today, a couple of things, we're flying through it kind of fast. The good thing is it's podcasts, so you can go to the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and hear it again. Another thing is that a lot of the principles we're talking about are true for just whole families. And also, there are other reasons other than divorce that can be the loss of a partner, and then a remarriage. And so we're talking about parents relating to the kids and the kids relating to the parents and step parents and that sort of thing. So we're going to talk a little bit here in the second part about what can we do that's maybe a little different and a little more healthy. And I start off by saying that support and information is always, always, always helpful. And it's most often imperative, or quite often imperative. And I know that that kind of goes against the grain a little bit. Not so much now, but there's still some, a little bit of maybe stigma left with the left over for counseling, and a lot of people thinking, let's just fix it ourselves. We don't need a
people
counselor.
People used to just kind of grit and bear it.
Yeah.
But I think it's because also, again, there's so much more divorce now, second, third, fourth marriages, that this has become, I mean, it's kept you busy. People like you because people need help.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the do's and don'ts here. We don't want to force roles. This comes from step parents not wanting to force roles on children, but also the young people. And this is where family counseling can come in, where the young people can get an outside perspective on not making the mistake of putting the step parents in some kind of mold and having some kind of expectation of them. Jesus said man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The kids aren't there to keep rules. The rules are there for the kids. And it's about people. It's not about rules. It's about people. And so we've got little people in the house, or the step parents, they're people. They have stories too. And a lot of times just understanding, that person's story, maybe step parents could, in a non-threatening way, and in convey part of their story sometimes to the young person.
And in a blended family situation, and I'm thinking more with younger kids, do you think that the rules kind of go by the wayside more, or do they tighten down more in a blended family? Because I think of the blended family, they're kind of feeling guilty, like we need to just kind of give them an extra big lollipop to kind of make up for this situation we put them in.
Yeah, in blended families, as in other families, I think the onus is on the parents to really understand the rules that we're implementing and make sure that the rules are for the kids and not just for me and my ego, but they're. And so we really have to sit down as parents and say, why are we making this rule? Why does it make sense? Why does this work in their life? And is it really, does it make a difference? And why does it make a difference? And there have been times in raising my daughter that I've felt very strongly about a rule, but I really haven't had a reason, and I've been really upfront with her about that. I feel strongly about this. I'm open to talk about it over and over until my mind changes. I'm going to go this way because I just feel it's, but I don't mind having a discussion about it. I certainly want to understand why I'm making a rule, and I want to make sure it's for you.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say on here, be careful with the word love?
Yeah, that's again trying to legislate feelings, or we feel like maybe hasten things, and if we can start using the word love and that sort of thing, maybe that will kind of like usher in affection, that kind of thing. But remember that a lot of those words with meanings, well, in the first place, children, attach a meaning to those words that adults don't. Mm-hmm. And we're confused enough about them that it doesn't make sense to try to have them use a word. Their expression of affection for us largely should be voluntary. Now, there are ways of encouraging that, but I think we want to stay clear of words that would probably be reserved for that, for the absent parent or for the biological parent.
Mm-hmm.
And for the step parent, let the expressions kind of unfold, and the child may not ever use the word love with the stepdad or stepmom. Mm-hmm. They might prefer the word appreciate.
What about the way they address them? They don't want to call them mom. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for, like, hey, Carol, you know, for a young kid to be calling the stepmom by their first name? I mean, what do you do with stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, again, it's kind of it's a thin line between disrespect and sort of reality, I guess. But, you know, with the older kids, it's a little different than with the younger kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the younger kids will just find it natural to eventually say mom.
Yeah.
Dad, they'll figure that out. It'll feel good for the older kids. Again, they're on their own path anyway.
Mm.
And so for them, it might be too late to insist on mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just, I mean, if you try to force it, you're going to get resentment. That's mm-hmm. what you're going to get. So, you know, this is part of the cost. If it's a divorce, remarriage, this is part of the cost of, you know, we're still somewhat paying for
right.
mistakes we've made before. So,
right. it,
you know, we're trying to make the best of a bad deal. But if you try to force it, you're going to get resentment. Better let them, better let it unfold, you know, better, it's better, you know, again, a teenager is likely never, quite likely, never to call the step parent mom or dad.
Right.
They would probably prefer the first name. Now, is that somewhat disrespectful? Well, again, I think it's kind of the cost of...
That's the deal.
Yeah, that's kind of the deal.
Yeah. And part of, you're saying here, no cookie cutters in any of this. Part of it is natural, kind of the way these things unfold.
Part of it's natural. I think a lot of times parents, step-parents and parents who feel sorry for the step-parent or want to advocate for the step-parent because it's maybe if they don't accept the step-parent, they don't accept me or my choice either. So I'm trying to advocate for the step-parent. And so we sort of read something into the child's behavior and we forget that even if this were a perfect family, children going through certain stages are going to demonstrate certain kinds of behaviors.
Mm.
And all of that behavior isn't because it's a mixed family. It may be more complicated because of that, mm-hmm. and it may be exacerbated, but some of that behavior is just
normal
where the kid is in
life.
So it's a matter of, again, just like any parent would have to try to get on the same page as the child, because the child cannot get on the same page as the parent.
Mm-hmm.
They psychologically just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself first.
Be honest with yourself first. Yeah. Why is this rule important to me? Is that for me or is it for the child? You know, am I trying to enforce this rule or hear the word love, or is that to make me feel better, or is there really something in it for the child? And you know, what I've learned in parenting, and maybe you have too, Mark, is that we make mistakes, but if the mistakes we made in trying to do the best for the child, we're going to get away with it a lot more than if we did it trying to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, be open, be real, be vulnerable, and what you kind of end on here is build on what you do have together, not on what you could have done or what you should have done,
now. Not on what you could have or what you should have, and that's the way a lot of times people will approach this. Well, this should be the way it is or this could be the way it is instead of, you know, this is the way it is, and let's build on that. This is the way this child is responding to me now out of pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have. So we're going to build on that, not build on an assumption of where we should be, you know. That's just unrealistic. You cannot, you just can't push that. This isn't a time to be hard-nosed and tough. It's a time to be teachable, vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we don't want to be. Maybe we already feel a little bit of shame and guilt because of the path that we've had to go down. But this isn't a time to be hard-nosed and tough and defensive, but it's a time to be vulnerable and vulnerable to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's no easy answers here, but there's definitely some help here, some assistance. And I like what you said here, too. Be open to learning more and getting information. There's so much more information out there now, how to make a blended family work. And come in and see you. Life Coach and Counseling, you can help with this. It's a very practical thing that a lot of people have to deal with, their blended families. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, the phone number is 425-778-6169. And they can also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your podcast of your previous broadcast, this broadcast as well, will be on that website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff with Daniel Pryor and Sound Mind here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.